Anyway, last week we started a brand new series. It was called The Unashamed Life. We've been in this series on unashamed. All of it's based off Paul's testimony in Romans 1:16, when he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for the salvation of all men. But we're breaking that down as we go through. And so last week we started this series called Unashamed Life. And in the first sermon we talked about how we live a brand new life. And here today, we're going to see that just because we have a brand new life in Christ, that doesn't mean that everything is going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that all our struggles are gone. It doesn't mean that I won't be tempted. It doesn't mean that I won't sin. Now, let me ask you, by a show of hands, have any of you that have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior ever struggled with any of that stuff? Okay, so most of us that have accepted Christ are willing to admit that those are things we have struggled with. See, that's a fact of this brand new life in Christ. It means that you're on a different side in a life-going war that's going on all around you. And this battle, this war that you're caught up in, is not a war with God as a Christian. And it shouldn't be a war with others. But it is a war against three things: sin, self, and Satan. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Somebody a whole lot smarter than me, which is most of you, if not all of you in this room, but it wasn't one of you, but somebody a whole lot smarter than me said this: sinners are at war with God. Saints are at war with sin. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Because a lot of people think, no, sinners are at war with sin. We got to battle sin. We got to get them out of that sin. That's not true. Sinners are at war with God. Saints are at war with sin. When we are sinners, we really do live at war with God. You see, while we are sinners, we live for sin. We live in sin. We relish that sin. We like it. We enjoy it. So we live in sin. But once we accept the blood of Jesus over our lives for salvation, then we are saints and no longer war against God. Instead, our enemy becomes sin, self, and Satan. Romans 7 is the passage we're going to be in this morning. And Romans 7 is not the whole story. We're going to look at it this morning, but it's only a part of a story. It's a significant part of the Christian experience for every follower of Jesus Christ. Now, some people argue otherwise. They suggest that Paul's experience describes a subnormal Christian life in Romans 7. Others say this is Paul living outside of the Spirit of God. I don't get that. I don't believe that's what that's about at all. I believe Romans 7 is telling us this is the way life is day in, day out for the Christian. We have something to look forward to in Romans 8, and we'll talk about that next week. But I want you to know that I believe that Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8 are all a part of the Christian life. We need all three to have this well-rounded Christian faith. So let me go a step beyond that and say that I believe that the path to God's blessing for our lives goes right through Romans 7, and particularly through verses 14 through 25. See, the experience that Paul's talking about here is a necessary part of your walk with Jesus Christ. God put these verses in the Bible, I believe, for your blessing, for my blessing. He put them in the Bible because they reflect a part of life that all of us experience, but rarely do we ever talk about it when we come to church on a Sunday morning. So I think what we need to do is go back into the Scriptures and let's see what Romans 7, 14 through 25 is all about. So if you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to turn there, follow along. I'll read it, but I want to encourage you to follow along with us. If you don't have a Bible, maybe you don't own a Bible, that's all right. There should be one in a chair in front of you, behind you, beside you somewhere. Grab it. Open it up this morning, read it, and then take it home. Put your name in it. Just read it every day. But here's what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 7, beginning in verse 14. Paul says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." Does that sound like anybody in here? "And if I do What I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin. Underline that. If you want to understand this, you might want to pay attention to this. But it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but here it is again, but it is sin living in me. Do you hear a refrain? It is sin living in me. It is sin living in me that does it. Look at verse 21. So, I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Anybody ever experienced that? You want to do good, but evil is right there with me, Paul says. And verse 22 says, for in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. Listen to this. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. What Paul does, he does not want to do, and what he does not do, he oftentimes wants to do in order to bring glory and honor to God. I'm glad I made it through that passage. That's a tricky one to read sometimes. But listen, what Paul is telling us, folks, is this. He says, we are engaged in a great and difficult war, a war that rages on for a lifetime. It's a war with sin, it's a war with self, and it's a war with Satan. That's the war. And each one of us are caught up in the middle of it. So let's just break those down. The points this morning are pretty simple. First, we're going to look at the war with sin. What's the war with sin? Why is it that there is this struggle inside of every believer? If we're going to be just honest with each other, I think we all would admit that we have a struggle inside of us from time to time. We have challenges. So why do we have these struggles as believers? The answer is very simple, and it's two words. The answer is indwelling sin. Look at the text again. Paul says it twice, verse 17, verse 20. I pointed it out. I said, if you underline it. It's no longer I myself doing it, Paul says, but it is sin living in me. And these are all present tense, present perfect. And so it's the sin that continues to live in him. It goes back to Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. But the proper rendering of that, because it's a present perfect, is that all have sinned and continue to sin. That's what he's saying. That's why grace abounds. Grace, the grace of God continues to flow out to us. Okay? But that sin rages on within us. Sin living in me, Paul says. He uses that phrase again, like I said in verse 20. Sin dwells inside the life of every believer. Our job is to put it to death, to be that living sacrifice each and every day over in Romans 12. But that sin's going to rear its ugly head. It wants to rage within us. It wants to rise up. Paul says that that sin is actually present in the members of his body. He says that whenever he wants to do good, evil's right there. It's right there with him. It's tempting him. Listen, as long as you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you will never be completely free from the pull of the sin that is inside of you. As long as you are in your mortal bodies, you will wrestle with sin. That's not to get you down. That's to say, soldiers, you need to be prepared. You need to know your enemy. And your enemy is sin. And there's a sin that rages inside of each of us. There's a whole lot we could talk about. I mean, we are descendants of Adam. In our nature, we have sin. When we live and walk in the Spirit, we live and walk in the Spirit. But sin is right there with us, wanting to drag us back down. Why? Because you're in a battle. You're in a war. You're in a war against a cowardly little fellow named Satan, who doesn't want to go into eternity by himself. He wants to bring as many people with him as he can. And so as a saint, you're no longer at war with God, but you're at war with sin. And so sin is going to fight you tooth and nail at every turn. You won't escape that. Verse 24, Paul cries out in desperation. He reminds me of David. You ever read the Psalms? And you hear David in desperation crying out to God? This is exactly what Paul reminds me of. He says, "What a wretched man am I? Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Have you ever thought about the fact that sin is the reason your body grows old? The fact that sin entered into the world, our body grows old and we die. God created us in Genesis for what? For life. For worship, but for life. He created us to live. He did not create us with the intent to die. Death entered into the world through sin. Our bodies are at war against sin. Our soul is at war against sin. Sin is the reason our bodies decay. Sin is the reason our bodies die. There is a sin principle working inside your body. I believe that's why Paul says, get up every morning, be a living sacrifice to God. You're going to have to keep on living, but you've got to sacrifice yourself. You've got to die to that sin that rages inside, that sin that wants to take control. And it's easy to do. We have to sacrifice, living sacrifice every day. In this passage, Paul lays bare the struggle between the liberated mind, which knows Jesus Christ, and the indwelling principle of sin in the body of the believer. What Paul is saying is that there is a war that's going to go inside the heart of everybody who follows Jesus Christ. A struggle, a war, and a conflict that goes on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, year in, year out. Nobody ever comes to a place where he can say, no, I don't struggle with sin anymore. I have no struggles anymore. I'm perfect. No, the war is over for me. Now, if you meet a person who says that, start praying for them. If you're a believer who says that, drop to your knees and start praying. Because Satan has so fooled you into believing that you're perfect. None of us are. See, if you're a believer, that's always going to be the case. You're going to experience temptation of sin. Sin's going to try and rage within your life at every turn. As long as you live, the struggle is going to go on. You will be at war with sin. Next, there's a war with self. There's a war against sin, but there's also a war with self. In her book, Joni Erickson Tada describes her first realization of the harsh reality of her paralysis. Joni was only 17 when she was permanently paralyzed from the neck down as the result of diving off of a deck in very shallow water out on the ocean. She, her and her sister were out there, and she'd swam out there. She climbed on the deck. She jumped up. She dove in. She hit the bottom. Her neck snapped back. And next thing she remembers, she's floating face down. She's floating face down in the water, hoping her sister would see her and turn her over. Well, a crab bit her sister's toe, caused her to turn around. She sees her sister floating. She goes to her sister. She turns her over. She realizes Joni can't move. So Joni was rushed to the hospital to have extensive tests and x-rays and to determine the extent of her injuries. But before the tests were run, she had to go through in processing. you've ever been admitted into a hospital or emergency room, you go through in processing. I want to read a little of this for you from her book, Joni. And the subtitle to her book, Joni, is An Unforgettable Life. She's a Christian artist. She paints with her teeth. She holds a toothbrush in her teeth. She paints. She writes music. She sings. Very talented young lady. Joni, An Unforgettable Story. That's what she said. This is her recalling what happened. She said, the nurse with the clipboard left the room. The other nurse put the envelope with my belongings in it on the nearby table. Then she opened a drawer and pulled out a big pair of shears. What are you doing? I stammered. The nurse said, I've got to remove your swimsuit. Joni said, but don't cut it. It's brand new. I just got it, and it's my fave. Sorry. Regulations, the nurse replied. The cha-clunk, cha-clunk, cha-clunk of the shears echoed off the plaster walls. She pulled the ruined scraps of material off and dropped them in a waste can. She didn't even care. The suit didn't mean a thing to her. I wanted to cry. She put a sheet over me and left. I felt embarrassed and uncomfortable. The sheet slipped down, exposing part of my breast. I couldn't move to pull it back up. Frustration and fear finally brought a flood of tears as I began to sense the seriousness of the situation. She wanted to do something in her body, and she couldn't. As serious as it is to lose the ability to move, to have quadriplegia like Joni did, the Apostle Paul describes a deeper frustration going on here in Romans 7. It's a frustration I believe only Christians can truly understand, and one in which all Christians, I believe, can identify with. I'm talking about the moment we realize that our sinful flesh refuses to respond to the requirements of God's law. Have you ever had that realization? This is when we do the things we despise and we fail to do the things we desire. Anybody ever been there? No matter how much we may wish to serve God in our minds, there are times we find ourselves sinning in our flesh. Maybe you've experienced that disgust at yourself. Why am I doing this, you moron? Paul agrees with the law of God and rejoices in it and wants to do what's right. But see, what happens is his flesh fails to submit. It fails to surrender. In his mind, he wants to serve God, but in the flesh, he serves himself. Paul describes this like a neurologist would. It's like sin fires off a synapse, and Paul wants to do what is right, but it's like his body won't respond in obedience to God. But the flesh, oh man, the flesh eagerly responds to the impulse and desires aroused by sin. Joni's difficulty only partially describes the analogy of Romans 7. You see, it's one thing to have our body not do what we tell it to, and quite another to realize that our body is very obedient to something else. That's what the Apostle Paul is realizing. It's what he's telling us. That is the frustration that Paul's experiencing, that he's sharing with us. Every Christian who reads Romans 7 should immediately identify with Paul's expression of frustration and agony due to the weakness of his fleshly body. He says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? We're confronted with a dilemma as we try to live righteously. If there were no answer for this question, we'd hardly dare to press on. But thanks be to God, Paul says, there is a solution. There is absolutely a solution. We'll talk about that solution a little bit later, and next week especially. Some of our most tender nerves are touched by Paul's teaching in these verses. For the truths taught here could be taken as the most depressing and hopeless realities of our lives. I know they could. But Paul does not dwell on the weakness of our flesh in order to discourage us. Rather, Paul exposes the weakness of our flesh as the root problem which prevents Christians from living the kind of lives God requires and God desires for each one of us. Paul exposes the weakness of our flesh, of ourself, to prepare us for God's provision for godly living. Paul says the law is not the problem. My flesh is the problem. His nature, by birth and by virtue of his union with Adam, he is fallen, like everyone in this room. His self, his fleshly nature, is hostile toward God. It's friendly toward sin. Nothing good dwells in his flesh. His nature impairs not only his ability to comprehend the law of God, but it inclines him to disobey it even if he did understand. See, Paul's flesh is in bondage to sin. That's back in verse 14. And because of this, the standards set by the law are not met. Those things which the law requires, Paul finds himself failing to do. Those things which the law prohibits, Paul finds himself practicing. He does this very thing that he hates. One thing can be learned from Paul's confusing and chaotic condition and his conduct, if not his actions and his attitude. Paul agrees with the law of God, confessing it to be good, like just about everybody in this room would. Paul hates those sins which the law condemns, just like everybody in this room would. Thus, Paul is in agreement with the law. Paul wishes to do what the law commands. Paul is, once again, in fundamental agreement with the law. Paul's mind is in agreement with God's law, but his flesh is opposed to it. So it's not the law that's the problem. It's Paul. So it's not Donnie that's the problem. I'm sorry, it's not the law that's the problem, it's Donnie. Whew, about slipped over to that other side. Paul's at war with sin. Just like us, Paul's at war with self. Just like us. Finally, we're at war with Satan. How many of you actually used to play the game tug of war? Any tug of warers in here? Any battle-hardened tug of war people? There's a few. We used to play it all the time. I love that game. And the purpose is to try and get an equal number of people on each side with hopefully an equal amount of strength on each side of the rope. And so to make things interesting, when I used to play this, we'd put a big pit of mud right in the middle, and you'd pull over that. And nobody won until everybody on the other team was in the mud pit, right? And that's the way we play it. Those who lose the battle, they fall in the mud. We're in a tug of war every day. We really are. The war is with our heart. We have Satan and his demons on one end and Jesus and his angels on the other, if you will, if you can just picture that. And so some of you may go, well, that's easy. He's going to win every time. And that's true, but I'm not talking about a cosmic tug of war. Jesus has already won that battle, and there's nothing else to be done about that, okay? He is the victor, and we can rest assured knowing that. But each day, there's this tug of war in the spiritual realms. Go back to the book of Ephesians. Think about that, Ephesians chapter 6. There's this battle going on in the spiritual realms that we most of us, don't have a clue about. We don't even acknowledge, most of us in this country. Most Christians in the United States, we can't even fathom that. I've got friends down in Haiti, and man, they can talk about that just because of where they live and the things they battle. With voodoo and all this other stuff. But there is a real battle in the spiritual realm. And so there's this tug of war every day within our heart. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, Paul describes it this way. He said, finally be strong in the Lord, not in yourself. Boy, that's one I can struggle with. I want to be strong in me. Paul says, no, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. He says, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Do you hear it? We're at war with Satan. On a day, don't pretend. Don't let people, don't let false teachers tell you you're not at war with Satan. You are. Every day, there's a war. He says, so put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, it's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. It's against the authorities. It's against the powers of this dark world. And then listen to this. And against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Have you ever sat down and really thought about that? There are spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. When I think, when I just initially think of the heavenly realms, I think of angels, cherubim, playing their little harps, floating on clouds, right? A buffet that never ends, a golf course that's 72 degrees all the time, right? That's our idea of heaven for many of us. It's the things we can relate to. In the heavenly realms, there is a cosmic war. There is a battle that's going on every day over our souls. Jesus has won. He's won. The victory is His. But Paul tells us we're engaged in that daily. You feel this tug of war in your spirit. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah describes it this way in Jeremiah 17:9. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That's his question. Who can understand it? The rope, if you can think tug of war, the rope represents your life. There are forces we can't see. They're struggling over your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Everything we do is a condition of our heart. Since we're all sinners, Romans 3:23, all have sinned, continue to sin, fall short of the glory of God, and our hearts are deceitful, we've got to be prepared. We've got to know that we're engaged in this tug of war game. Today, Satan and his demons desire your heart. They desire your mind. They desire your soul. Not because they care about you, because they're cowardly. They want your heart, soul, mind, strength to be self-centered, not Christ-centered. You may gravitate to do what you feel you deserve. No matter what the cost to others, you may take shortcuts and not be entirely truthful. We are all, or can be, we can all be selfish. Each day we need a heart transplant. That's why living the Christian life. When Jesus told his disciples, you want to follow me, take up your cross and follow me. This is a daily thing. This is a daily thing. Denying yourself daily. A heart transplant daily. Most of us, we wait and we wait too long to get the help we need to battle Satan. Sometimes we find ourselves in the mud pit. We've gone in it. Doc Henderson was a professor I had, and I've said this before. He said, there's a difference in slipping in a mud puddle and making mud pies. All of us are going to slip in that mud puddle. Some of us, we get in that mud, and we just want to stay. And we start making mud pies. Listen, no matter how deep you are in the mud, no matter how far you've fallen, it's never too late to get on the Lord's side. That's just the beginning. A lot of Christians fail to realize that when we start following Jesus and walking with Him, they still need to fight. We need to fight sin. We need to fight self. We've got to fight Satan. You still need to pull your weight on that rope. Fight for your purity. Fight for righteousness. Fight for the desire to follow Jesus every day. Don't be lulled into the losing team. Satan loves apathy. I just don't care. And that battle that goes on, I believe it goes on every Sunday morning. Sitting up here, you're a good-looking bunch of people. You're a good-looking congregation. You are. If you haven't heard that, hear that. We look real nice in church, all cleaned up, dressed up. But behind every smiling face is a story of struggle and strength. And behind every smiling face is a story of heartache and healing. There are victims and there are victors. There are cowards and there are the courageous. There are those who have been belittled and there are those who are brave. There are those who are fearful and there are those who are fearless. And we're all sitting in here like a mixed bag of nuts, all mixed up together. And though we look very good when we come to church in truth, if we could see our souls, it'd be more appropriate to picture us as a group of soldiers staggering out of a jungle after combat. I think that's what life is like. Some of us, we barely make it to church, maybe because it's been a difficult week. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, and in every way we've struggled through the last 7 days. You know what? That's okay. It's a struggle to come to church for many. It's a struggle to admit the truth for others. We'd all rather think, I look good, you look good, we don't have any problems, let's just go through life pretending everything's fine. The truth of the matter is that healing cannot begin until we can say, I've got a battle raging inside of me. Your battle may be different than mine. You may battle with a sin, or maybe you battle with self, or maybe you're battling with Satan. When folks come to my office and say, I'm really struggling, we can be encouraged because we can always go back to Romans 7 and say, well, guess what? You're in good company. If you're really struggling, if you feel there's a war within you, you have a lot in common with one of the greatest Christians who ever lived in the Apostle Paul. Listen, most of us are going to struggle with some sin for many, many years, with ourselves for even more years, with Satan for a lifetime. We're going to lose some of those battles. I'm just going to lose some of them. But through Jesus Christ, we're going to win a lot of them. You're going to win a lot of those battles. We're going to know significant amounts of victory. Don't let anything I said mislead you. It seems incomplete. But remember, Romans 8, it's just around the corner. I'm not giving you the whole message. What I'm telling you is this, we're going to win some, we're going to lose some, we're going to be knocked down, we're going to have to get back up. We're going to keep on struggling through the help of God. We're going to one day continue on and win the battle. We'll never ultimately win the victory until we are with Jesus face to face, but until then we can walk in significant victory. But there's going to be a war. Even the best saints of God are going to struggle. How else can you explain pastors that fail? How else can you explain seemingly godly people who find themselves caught up in adultery and extortion? How else can you explain Christian leaders and Sunday school teachers who admit heinous sins? How do you explain the people of God who end up incarcerated? How do you explain God's people giving into anger and bitterness and rage and gossip and all that stuff? The only way that I know how to explain it is that we are at war with sin, with self, and with Satan. So listen, if you're a Christian this week, I want to encourage you to identify the sin that rages in your life. I want to encourage you to name that sin, pray specifically about that sin, that you would cut it off. You'd starve it. Maybe if you're a Christian, maybe you struggle with yourself, giving in to what you want. Pray specifically that you die to self every day. You'd be that living sacrifice. If you're a Christian, make sure you are spending time putting on the full armor of God each day as you prepare for battle. Now, if you're not a Christian, if you're here this morning and you haven't accepted Christ, listen, I want to ask you a question. Are you ready to stop battling God and start fighting sin? You see, a brand new life is still a life at war. Non-Christians fight God. Christians fight sin, self, and Satan. Whose side are you on?